Welcome. This is James Corbett of Corbett Report.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back one last time for 2012 for the grand finale episode of the year from New World next week. And of course, as always, you can find all the information available at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, you and I have discussed this, and in years past, something we've done here as the final episode of the year has always been sort of a retrospective, some of the most important stories of the year, what were we thought maybe even some of the most overlooked or underreported or even censored stories of the year. And we've also speculated and guessed about what may become trends in the coming year. We've decided to change it up a little bit this time and just look at what we'll sort of call the biggest newsmakers of the year. Some folks call them, you know, the person of the year and like I said, newsmaker of the year. So we'll look at this from a few different angles. And again, this episode, of course, will kind of deviate from the regular three-story format of New World Next Week. So James, now that I've sort of set the table there, you can take this any way you want and start with any area you'd like.
Well, why don't we just introduce the couple of big person of the year, newsmaker of the years that made a lot of news, especially there in the United States, where, of course, Time comes out with their annual person of the year. And who did they choose for person of the year this year? Barack Obama, for the second time, actually, because he was also person of the year back in 2008. I guess he's just such an important person. And to be 100% frank with you, I haven't actually bothered myself to even look into actually reading the Time piece on it and why they decided to choose Barack as person of the year. But James, do you have any insight on that?
Well, we will include in the show notes for this the take from Russia Today. Time names U.S. President Obama person of the year again. It says the magazine calls Obama a cultural figure, quote, the symbol and in some ways the architect, end quote, of a new America, who spells the end of 30 years of U.S. politics that began with the Reagan realignment. Because now it's the country that he represents is one that embraces gay marriage and undocumented immigrants, fast-growing groups, influence, greater diversity, yada, yada, yada.
Economic end times, endless wars in the Middle East, dropping bombs on people by drone, you know, all those great things, indefinite detention, warrantless wiretapping. It's a bold new era we're entering, I suppose. Yeah, no, so that, I think, is disgusting to anyone who actually knows what the what Obama's has done and what he's responsible for. But in a way, I suppose, if you just have that vague, anonymous person of the year, I guess it does kind of cover that because he was an important person, I suppose we could say, an important puppet of the year, I suppose. But there's also been some other interesting choices from around the world, not just there in the States, also in my home and native land of Canada, where Luc Magnotta was recently voted by the Canadian press as the newsmaker of the year in Canada. For people who don't know, he was the person who, well, engaged in an extremely grisly murder earlier this year and was hunted down in across the world, and there was a lot of international headlines and attention to it. So this person has been named Person of the Year, which of course, or Newsmaker of the Year, which has kicked off a big fury in Canada, because obviously having a grisly murderer as Newsmaker of the Year doesn't exactly send out a good image and doesn't exactly convey what people would want in that kind of title, because it does sound like we're nominating someone who's great or deserving of attention and praise, as opposed to simply someone who has made a lot of news headlines. So there's a lot of connotations behind all of this. And interestingly enough, I think it plays into things like the mass shootings that we've seen in the United States this year, because in talking to people like Lauren Coleman and others, I think it really is the media that helps to foster the atmosphere that creates these types of events. Because if we constantly talk about these killers or alleged shooters or whatever you want to call them, it still creates that culture of deification of these people. They're big stars, they're big celebrities, and they become talked about on the news media. And if you are a mentally deranged person who's thinking about going on some sort of shooting spree, you can bet you probably would have be encouraged by the type of media attention this gets. So I think this plays into a lot of questions about what this means. Person of the year, newsmaker of the year, who's the person who made the biggest headlines, and should this be something that we venerate at all?
I think it's even fascinating that we can sort of compare and contrast Luc Magnotta and Barack Obama, when, if you probably added up the body counts, there's no contest whatsoever. So you could see the fury. Yeah, a country wouldn't want to say, you know, oh, our biggest newsmaker was this crazed serial killer that sparked a global manhunt. But isn't it fascinating that Time magazine, you know, they've named Stalin and Hitler as their person of the year before. And they'll kind of talk out of both sides of their mouth sometimes by saying, oh, yeah, it's an honor. It's always an award. Oh, they were awarded person of the year. Unless, of course, they don't want to say that it's an award. And they're able to kind of change the language when they're saying Hitler. But, of course, this was 1938 Hitler. This is the Hitler that still had a lot of support with the international cartels that support leaders up until the point where it becomes too messy and they're going to throw their dollars to the opposition. So James, Obama is now Time's Person of the Year twice. And I was going to interrupt you and say, that's two times and counting, because surely he'll still get it again. And then that would really put him in the realm of the only other person who's been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year three times. And that's who Obama, I believe, wishes he could be seen as, and that's FDR.
You're exactly right, and there's a lot of historical parallels to go with there. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, obviously this raises the question, if we are critiquing this type of selection, what would we come up with for our own selections? And I understand that you have an idea for an interesting idea of sort of newsmakers of the year who have been completely and utterly forgotten about and swept into the dustbin of history. But a few months ago, if you had asked them, it would have been a different response. So interesting choices. Let's talk a little bit about that.
The two for me that in a way are sort of inextricably linked, because they came so closely upon each other, and they were both completely sort of fostered and grown and disseminated all on the internet. It's another sort of, oh, social media kind of made this happen. It's Trayvon and Coney. Those, to me, are two of the biggest stories of the year, only in that now they've been, like you said, completely wiped off the page. And for me, that answer can only be that the stories started to fall apart. And I covered it a lot on Media Monarchy earlier in the year, that with the Trayvon Martin situation, I was like, man, it looks like they're really pushing this story to become a larger thing. Now, whether that was supposed to be some type of race war, class war kind of situation, they're still working on that. But I wonder if the Trayvon situation was perhaps by the powers that be hoped to be the kind of situation that Connecticut shooting and even the Aurora shooting happened, that they wanted to generate that kind of vitriolic, we must ban guns at all costs. James, you would think right now banning guns is the most important thing in the world. It has not left the front page of the Oregonian. Every day I'll pick it up and see they keep it in the front page. But you can ask the question. My girlfriend asked the question, but isn't that maybe what people are interested in? And that may be part of the case too. But I think once you finally saw photos, but again, maybe people didn't see them because they had stopped paying attention to the story. And of course, the news media didn't run it 24/7, you know, wall to wall, as we say in the news media. The actual bloody beat up photos of George Zimmerman, you look at him and go, oh, well, yeah, somebody beat the crap out of him. I ultimately think in that situation, it was probably two hotheads who met each other in the night, and someone wasn't going to walk away from that. Be that as it may, that story and the Coney story, entirely, you know, pushed and fueled by online social media. Once you get Justin Bieber and P. Diddy, you know, retweeting your mission, it seemed to be the hugest thing in the world. And then a couple of weeks later, the main guy behind it had the super meltdown on the street, naked, you know, ranting and raving. But of course, it was called reactive psychosis, his meltdown, James. That story completely fell apart and completely went away. And that story, which I think we documented pretty well on New World Next Week, the story of Coney is to basically get the Americans behind the idea of, yeah, we need to go into Africa too. And it seems like that has still kind of been a success, right, James?
To a certain extent, at any rate, they still do trot out the Coney boogeyman when they when Secretary of State Clinton went on her little trips to Africa, etc. So it's still there. It's just not obviously anything reproaching what it was back in May or whenever that video was released. So March or whenever it was. Exactly. And I think, isn't that a case in point of why we should maybe step back and take a look whenever one of these stories blows up into the biggest story in the world? Perhaps we should just take a step back and really consider it. You know, 6 months from now, is anyone going to be talking about this? Is this going to be it? Should we be letting this drive the news agenda? And if not, then what can step in to fill that void? What can replace those types of ridiculous stories that get sensationalized and blown up and repeated ad nauseum 24/7 for however many weeks it takes for the public to get sick of it and move on to something else? I mean, is there another way to report news? Is there another way to understand the world that we're living in? I'd like to think there is, but if there is, we're not seeing it from any of the controlled corporate media. Surprise, surprise. So that leads me to my selection for what could be an alternative sort of newsmaker of the year. And it's a bit of a cop-out in some ways, but I hope it'll at least get people thinking along slightly different lines. You might remember a few years ago, Time's Person of the Year was you. And they had a mirror on the front cover of their magazine. Yeah, it's you that's the person of the year. And they were talking about YouTube and the rise of social media and stuff. But I would like to posit that it is the type of people that you will never, ever, ever hear about in the media, in the news, that are the real people, who are the people who should be, that we should at least stop to contemplate and think of as heroes, rather than the people we're told to think of as heroes, rather than stupid overpaid sports stars or reality TV show celebrities or what have you. And one story that I saw the other day, which was actually kind of nice, and I'll give credit where credit is due. It's from Good News, the lighter side on the Yahoo News blog. And they had this story from my home and native land of Canada about the popular donut coffee chain, Tim Hortons. It was talking about in Winnipeg, there was a person who started a chain of people buying the next person's coffee for them in line at the drive-thru at this Tim Hortons branch in Winnipeg. And it, I guess, went through 228 customers in a row, bought the next person their coffee for them. So this was this big train that lasted all afternoon, and they decided to put a story out about this. And I thought that was the kind of thing that I'm sure, I mean, that type of thing happens each and every day with people doing little random acts of kindness for other people. That is not news. It will never be reported as news. It will never be hyped up. You'll never see 24/7 coverage about this type of thing. You'll never see it getting all of this attention, which means that it will not be emulated nearly as much as the things that do get attention, like mass shootings and rampages and killing and murder and mayhem and destruction. So I would like to posit that if we were going to look at real newsmakers of the year, it should be the silent, anonymous individuals who do things like this to actually do something. And it doesn't have to be buying coffee for someone, but I think you get the idea. Just little random acts of kindness that make the world a little bit better place to live in. And that, to me, is the type of thing we should be celebrating and thinking about, rather than mass murderers and all these people who are causing all this carnage and mayhem.
James, it's funny, and we hadn't discussed this, you know, about who we were going to mention as far as, you know, positive people of the year. You pretty much took the words out of my mouth. Again, talking with my girlfriend before shooting this episode, saying, you know, I'm kind of thinking I may just want to say my person of the year is anyone who didn't vote for Obama or Romney. My favorite person of the year is anybody who took their money out of the ridiculous bank and moved it either to, you know, a local credit union or did something entirely different with their money. But putting it under your mattress is just as good. Anybody who really took those steps to get outside of this destructive kind of mainstream life. And ultimately, James, you know, you and I don't, and I certainly hope people don't look at us as we're sitting up here on our high horses telling everybody how it's done. We still, I mean, we live in cities. We still have to exist in this world, but try and find the medium ground and really not make compromises that fundamentally compromise, you know, our sort of core beliefs. And so anybody who kind of made those moves and started to, you know, work for, you know, their own neighborhoods and started to work on their own food and any of those kind of things, any of those small steps, we've been milking goats for the last 5 months, and that's now how we get our milk. Whatever we're able to get from those goats is our supply of milk for the week. That, in such kind of a relatively stupid small little thing, has been such a huge joy in our lives. It gets us out of the house. It gets us playing with animals, which are fun. And you get that milk, and it means that much more to you. So James, I don't think it is a cop out, but you're exactly right. How a couple years ago, Time Magazine said, you know, you and YouTube and MySpace, but that's the narcissism of the web, and you know, it tells you by the names themselves, YouTube and MySpace and iTunes and me. It should be all about, you know, you.
Yeah, exactly right. Very, very well put. And so I hope that people will at least take a little time at the end of the year to remember the people in their lives who have helped them out positively and perhaps return the favor to them, and or even pay it forward to someone completely different. And that's the type of revolutionary idea that could hopefully change this world for the better, rather than just getting us to emulate the people who are destroying this world. And anyway, my hat's off to you personally, because I know you've quit smoking and changed your job into what you've actually studied to do. So you've taken some huge leaps this year. So my hat's off to you, and my best to you and your family, and to all the people out there who are watching. I once again, we thank you so much for your support. Obviously, this wouldn't exist without you and your guys out there, and your inputs, your comments, all of that greatly appreciated. So thank you all out there for another year of support, and I'm looking forward to 2013. And continuing to hopefully bring some important stories to the people who need them.
Absolutely. Yeah, James, I think I still, you know, now that we've pretty much completed our third year of doing New World Next Week, which kind of blows my mind. It just doesn't seem like we've been doing it that long. But I still find myself constantly thinking, oh, maybe we should try and work on it this way, or maybe we should incorporate, you know, a good news now segment every week on the new, you know, still thinking of positive growing ideas, because this is, you know, this is the most exciting work and important work, I think, that I'm involved in. And it's been the thing that now over the years, people don't necessarily know me from Media Monarchy as much as they, you know me from doing New World Next Week. And it's just been such a pleasure, such a privilege, such a joy. And I look forward to keep on keeping on. So,
well, before we bust out into Christmas carols and start holding hands and stuff, let's end this on a positive note. All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much again for all your work this year, James, and I'm looking forward to doing it again next year.
Thanks so much to you and to everyone else out there. Happy holidays, peace, love, all of those things to you, and let's make an even better 2013. Thanks so much, man. Take care.
Take care.